Is it going? Okay. Hi, I'm Kayla.
I'm Joy.
And this is
Some Adulting Required.
Woo! So, as per usual, we are in the car because it's just the quietest place that we have access to.
True that.
Because, like, our whole family at either of our houses
is a party.
They're a party. Now, they're not, like, a loud party per se. Oh, dang, I'm interrupting their game. They're not a loud party, but I mean, they're a party nonetheless.
Yeah.
So,
it's not that
bad. Here we are.
Yeah.
Heading out to Target, where we are always going. Mm-hmm. To what nice young man's. We just interrupted a baseball game.
Yeah. My bad.
High schoolers.
Sorry, kids.
I really, like, if I don't get all the AC in my face.
I know! It's so hot, guys. I don't understand what's going on. It's just, like, everything is sweating.
I'm over here riding with my face in the,
like,
in the thing, the vent.
I never knew that certain parts could sweat until I moved to Texas.
That is the truth.
I just don't even know what else to say. Like, it's just hot all the time, and it makes me sad. But then I get happy again because, like, whenever I think about going to New York, the hottest it gets there is, like, 85 degrees.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
It gets hot there.
It gets, well, it's 85, but then there's humidity.
No, New York is in the hundreds.
Rarely.
New York is all, every summer New York is in the,
oh my god.
Whoa.
She just ran a stop sign in a residential area. This is ghetto. It's fine. It's okay. She's in a rush. She must need some diapers or something.
I don't care what she needs.
I don't care either, Caleb. I'm scared of her. So.
I'm not scared of any freaking body.
Oh my god.
No.
Mm-mm. That was wild, lady.
Anyway, so before we get into what we're talking about, you want to talk about our highs and our lows for the week? What's your high?
Let's see. I think, my high, I just got this workout gear and my sneakers in because I'm trying to take myself more seriously when it comes to, like, working out. Because what I've been doing is, like, well, I just learned, like, how to do 3 different TikTok dances. I feel like that's exercise. Because it took me 3 hours to learn how to do, like, the first 10 seconds. Do you know what I mean? So that was exercise to me. But I think that I have to incorporate more, obviously, if I want to, like, because I gained weight during quarantine, you guys. Like, everyone does. That's just the situation we're in.
It happens.
But I don't want to look like this anymore. But I do, I think I look really cute. Like, I'm not going to lie. Soft and precious joy is a look. But I also...
She said soft and precious joy.
That's what I am. You know what I mean? It's just so cute everywhere. But I'm also like, hey, I want my boyfriend jeans to fit like boyfriend jeans again. And not like loose, but not tight, but not... You know what I mean?
I know.
I don't want my clothes to be ill-fitting anymore, and I refuse to buy clothes because I already have really cute clothes. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to lose the weight that I didn't have before quarantine and live my best life. Oh my god, a skater?
Yep.
Sorry. Don't I didn't really exist over here. We're in a different part of Houston. It's just, like, very suburban. I didn't know that there were angsty dudes over here.
No, there are angsty people everywhere who just don't want to pay Houston rent.
You're right. Anyway. but yeah, so I got this really cute set. I got 2 sets. They're from the Girlfriend Collective, but I had to get them on Reformation and then eBay because they ran out of all my sizes, and that was annoying, but that probably would be my low. Anyway, back to the tea. It's taking a really long time. Anyway, I got these new workout sets. And I got this nice pair of workout sneakers. They're white and, like, tan, soled, so they're adorable.
They're really cute.
And they're going to match all my clothes that I get, because I ordered more stuff online, obviously. What do you mean? It's from Shein, and I know that they're terrible, but I need a cheap workout wear. So, yeah, that's what's happening. That's my high. That's awesome. Cool.
That's wonderful. Yeah. My high is probably... Well, okay. There's always something to be thankful for, right? So, I guess I'm stressed, but my high is, I guess that we're trying to be a little bit consistent with our podcasting and like, you know, our like little Instagramming and things like that. We're trying to be a little bit more consistent, and
we got time now.
We do, kind of. And it makes me happy to we took a really long way.
That's okay.
It makes me happy to just focus on these kinds of things, like these kinds of creative things. They make me feel good. But I am stressed, y'all. And I'm just going to go right into my low. I can tell you hers later.
Yeah.
just like, we're at like a huge transition. Well, I consider it a huge transition. And when I'm stressed, I do one of two things. And they're on opposite spectrums, like completely opposite spectrums. Number one, I do everything the right way. I know. I could have just come down this road. But anyway, number one. I do everything the right way, meaning I take care of my mental health, I take care of my body, I'm super gentle with myself and my emotions. Like, I do all of those things when I'm stressed, and I completely, like, cut out people who stress me out. That's what I do. Number two, I stop taking care of my body, I stop taking care of my mental health, I just stop. And so, because I am on, there's no, like, middle spectrum for me. I either exist on one end or the other, which is why I tend to be pretty consistent with, like, exercising and things like that. Because I'm either doing one thing or I'm doing the complete opposite, right? So it's very easy for me to live on extremes instead of to live with, like, a balanced life, if that makes any sense. So that being said, because I'm in the middle of a transition and because I don't have all of the control over what this transitional period will mean for me, I'm stressed. And it's just a little bit, difficult. And so I'm trying to, I understand what I'm doing wrong with myself. Like, I know what I need to change in order to, get myself in, like, a better place. The part of my brain that wants me to, like, start doing what I'm supposed to do for myself just hasn't decided it wants to participate in my life right now. So until it decides that, this is what Kayla's gonna look like.
Oh my God.
In multiple ways.
Yeah.
So I still exercise and I do, you know, those things or whatever, but I don't really want to. And so it's not really, we're gonna walk, okay?
Yeah, fine.
So it's not very, like, effective. Like, I wouldn't consider my exercise regimen effective right now.
But it's just, like, to maintain.
I just try not to get too chunky, because obviously I still have some weight to lose, but anyway, that's my low. Just, you know, transitional periods, because I don't handle that well. What's yours?
My low is, it's not really a low, because it's not that bad. Well, it was kind of scary, but it's not really scary, so I went to the eye doctor, because I was trying to get some glasses. And I took the test, and my left eye has always had, like, just crappy vision, just because I thought it was normal, because I thought that's what an astigmatism was, but it's not. So I had to do the test two times, and then the doctor was like, hi, or, like, the eye doctor, she was like, hey, I'm going to take you, or I'm going to, like, refer you to an optometrist or ophthalmologist, because your left eye is just so garbage that I can't give you a prescription, because it wouldn't be right, because it wouldn't be the correct corrective lenses for your eyes. And I was like, garbage, whatever. So then I asked my mom about it, and I actually have, like, a condition in my left eye, and it's just the way that light, or the way that my brain identifies the way the light is transferred into my left eye, is completely different than my right eye. So I can see, but I can't see clearly, you know what I mean? And I thought that was normal. I thought that's why everyone needed glasses. But it's not. So I asked for an eye patch on my eye, which is cool because, like, it's strengthening my left eye. I wear it on my right eye because that's my stronger eye. But I keep getting these cluster headaches, and it's so annoying.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I want to go to the doctor, the ophthalmologist, so much earlier than freaking Friday or Saturday, whenever I'm going. I don't even know. The end of this week, probably. I want to go, like, tomorrow. I want to go tomorrow. That's Sunday. I want to go on Monday. I want to go on Monday because I want to get this in order. I want to know how to fix my eyes. You know what I mean? I was trying to do all, like, the adult things, and I just got, like, there was just a damper in it because I was, like, checking off my list, and I was like, hey, sis, your eye is jacked up. And I was like, ah, crap. So now everything has been put to a halt. kind of.
Only for a few days, but I understand the frustration, especially when, you know, when you need glasses and you're trying to, like, that transitional period is super hard because you get headaches a lot. And
yeah.
So I get it. That's, like, annoying.
And I, like, make graphics and I do our Instagram and I do other crap. Yep. So I have to, like, look at
screens,
electronics all the time. So it kind of makes it worse, but then when I wear my eye patch, I can't really see. So I'm just like, yeah, this is awesome.
You're like in this middle field trying to figure out what your life looks like.
Yeah. So I think that's what it is, but I think that's kind of like an illustration of how life is, because like you kind of see what's going on, but like you can't see the full picture because you don't have like the correct lens, because you're looking at it from a different perspective. You know what I mean? I don't know. That's just kind of how I've been feeling.
That's
lately.
Exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Because it's always, like, you have, sometimes you have foresight, but not always. Mm-hmm. But, like, after the fact, you can see things from a much different perspective. And so you're always like, why did I do that stupid thing? Or why was I freaking out over that thing or whatever? And then, because you now have the information to see it differently. And before, all you could see was what you were going through in the midst of everything. And so.
Yeah. Like, exactly.
That's, like, literally life in a nutshell.
And it's so frustrating because no one tells you. Oh, my God, her shorts are so cute.
Yeah, I was going to say, I like her hair, though.
I like her everything. Go off, sis.
She's cute.
Oh, my God. Anyway, so basically, all that being said, all that crap, all those bad things kind of lead up to what we're talking about today.
Yes.
Which is crippling anxiety.
Yes. And people-pleasing.
Yeah.
And how those two are the enemies of each other.
Yeah.
Because they really, really are, you guys. Like,
it's hard.
It's so funny because I feel like Joy and I feel like this for a lot of family and friends, but I feel like we go through, like, similar experiences and we process things in a very similar way.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're processing them at different times, we don't always tell each other what we're processing, like, in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's always, like, after the fact. And then we look at each other like, wow.
Like,
I could have said something because you knew. So, like, yeah. I feel like we process things so similarly. And so it was interesting because as we were talking about and trying to figure out, we were both trying to figure out our work life and what that looked like. And we were literally on the same day going through the same exact thing. And, like, this is, like, the first time that we actually got on the same page and, like, talked about it. And I think, I mean, I found it helpful. It still was, like, hard up until, like, I don't know, yesterday. But I found it helpful to, like, talk to somebody who had a similar experience to my own.
Because we just don't like disappointing people.
We don't.
I hate leaving a sour taste in someone's mouth.
Yeah.
Especially when it's, like, what's right for me.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because it's not like, no one ever forces you to do anything. You're never, like, obligated to do anything.
No.
Like, people want you to do stuff, yeah, but, like, you shouldn't feel, like, unless it's, like, a work thing where it's, like, okay, like, you're going to come in for the shift.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, if you find somebody else to switch shifts with you, then, like, cool. You know what I mean? Be on your way, do whatever you had to do.
Right.
So that you know what I mean? But I feel like, in our position, we had to let people know, like, what our decision was, and it wasn't what they wanted.
Yeah.
But it was what was best for our, like, us, our family, and, like, the life that we want to pursue.
Yeah.
And we had to do that, and we had to be like, hey, guys, like, you know.
We had to say goodbye. Yeah.
And it was awkward and terrible. But I feel like my conversation was so amicable and so kind, it made me feel worse. Because my manager was so nice and so understanding. He was like, hey, it's okay, and whenever you can come back. And I was like, okay, I really appreciate that, because, like, I might have to come back. You know what I mean? And it was just, like, it was a really nice conversation to have, but it made me feel like garbage, because I was like, oh, man.
They're being so nice to me.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, well, you know, like, that, what else can he say? Like, no, you sold your soul when you, like, signed that contract? Like, no.
I mean, interestingly enough, like, my first conversation with my first superior was very much like the one that you had. Very amicable, very, I understand your situation, whatever. But then the second conversation with the higher up was just very, very different. It was like, well, what are we supposed to do without you? You know, that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And I felt worse because, like, it's like, okay, when you're working with kids, and when you know you're going to be working with kids, but you have kids of your own, and then you have to figure out what decision to make, and you know that somebody's going to be let down, it's really hard to have to choose your kids over somebody else's kids, right? Because mm-hmm. you would want somebody else to choose your kids. And I know that's, like, a selfish statement, but, like, you want, like, the people who are working with your kids to be all for them and to be, like, on their team and to be rooting for them. And so when that's not the case, or when a person can't do that, like, for me, when I was no longer in the position to do that,
mm-hmm.
it made it harder for me because I'm letting somebody down, and I'm also letting some kids down in a way, even though we haven't actually, like, met yet. But, like, it's just, there were multiple things happening. Like, there were things I could have offered that now won't get there.
Yeah.
And I felt bad, but at the end of the day, the most important thing for me was how my family was affected, my two kids specifically. And so that my second conversation was not as nice and sweet and amicable as my first conversation with the person who I directly worked with. But and I guess that left me just feeling, like, deflated and second guessing myself and, you know, thinking, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done this.
Or, yeah.
You know, like, it had me in that headspace, and I've, like, barely just made it out of it. Like, barely.
It took us a couple of days.
It took a couple days.
And, like, I really like that when me and Kayla, like, go through crap, we kind of, and we're there, we just know, or we just, like, call each other and we're like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
And the situation, like, do you know, like, when you're in a really, like, awkward situation, and then you have to, like, leave mm-hmm. the area where it went down just to like,
get it off of yourself. You. Yeah.
Yeah, just to get away from the situation and to, like, leave it in that space. Because it's, like, it happened in my parents' bathroom because, like, it wasn't quiet anywhere else except for my parents' bathroom.
So that's
bathroom.
Where we made the phone calls.
Yeah, so we were like, hey, guys, what's going on? And it was awkward, but I feel like it was necessary to do because literally, like, if I would have had it in my room, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night. I barely slept that night anyway. I went to Kayla's house after because she was like, do you want to just, like, come over for a little while? And I was like, yes, I would love to.
We got milkshakes and
yeah,
burgers.
Yeah, we did. And we talked about life and how terrible it is to disappoint people. And it's awkward and it sucks. But I feel like, I think that's a part of, like, you know, adulting. You have to, like, square your shoulders and be like, this doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
And because that's the thing, especially when it has to do with employers. Like, there's somebody else that can come, and they're not going to be you, obviously, because, like, you're unique and you're your own person,
mm-hmm.
but they're going to find somebody who is right for the position because they're qualified, they have the credentials, and also they're eager for, like, they're eager to fill that position.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think that's what I had to keep on reminding myself of, because, like, I had to be like, yo, dude, like, relax, because I saw that they were hiring anyway, and they hired a couple of people in the first place,
mm-hmm.
so I was like, why am I over here? Like, literally, you should have seen us. We kept on having to go pee because we're nervous peers.
Yes.
And we had to, like, pee out the anxiety.
We were like, it was, guys,
it was a lot.
It was a lot.
Like, the physical manifestations of anxiety are, like, sometimes crippling because I almost had to pee during that conversation.
Same.
I almost had to pee, and I was so thankful. The conversation was, like, a minute and 58 mm-hmm. seconds long. A minute and 58 seconds. And I was scared. But I did it, and it was okay. You know what I mean? Like, my mom and my sister were there. My mom and Kayla were there. I was in there. I was like, yo.
Yeah, all three of us were crammed into the bathroom.
Yeah.
It was a sight to behold, you guys.
Sometimes, if you can't do something alone, just ask somebody to support you. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you could do? You could just, like, three-way somebody on a phone call if you have to make an awkward phone call. Not if it's a breakup phone call. Don't do that. You should be alone. That's weird.
You should be alone.
That shouldn't be, like, a thing, because that's a private conversation. But anyway, like, situations where you know you can, like, have somebody there with you, and you're like, hey, can you be here for me, or, like,
yeah.
Can I FaceTime you on my laptop while I call somebody?
Yeah.
And, like, you know what I mean? Because I think even if you can't see them, like, even if you, like, if you hear them breathing, that's awkward, that's weird. But even if you know that their presence is there, and that you're not alone, then you don't feel so stressed when you have to, like, do things. And I feel like, I don't know, like, in our family, like, the way we grew up, disappointing people is, like, a no-no.
Yep.
And I don't get it, because it's, like, and it wasn't a bad upbringing, but I think that me and Kayla, or all of our sisters, we're all, like, super empathetic.
Mm-hmm.
So, we don't like, we think even more deeply than most people do, because most people are like, oh, okay, like, well, it sucks that it doesn't work out for you, but, like, this is what I have to do.
Exactly.
And it took us years to get that.
Yeah, and then Mom years. Was sitting there, like, we were having these conversations, and Joy and I were, like, immediately regretting what we had said, and not regretting it, but just, like,
we were, like,
second-guessing ourselves, like, for the maybe the timing of it all.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, what are y'all doing? Like, she said, literally in every situation, you guys are the ones thinking about how you may have negatively affected somebody, but that's never been the reverse for you. Like, people are not thinking about how, what decisions that they're making, how they're affecting you. They're thinking about how their decisions affect their family.
Yeah.
And she literally said, it's okay every once in a while if you need to be a little bit selfish and think about how your decisions affect you and your own family.
Yeah.
I needed to hear that, because, like, I've been telling myself that for, like, the last 4 days, 5 days. Like, I've been telling myself, Kayla, like, you did what you had to do to make sure your sons had what they needed.
Yeah.
You know, you did what you had to do to make
sure they were just okay and everything.
And like, it's really hard. Like, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say, this is, like, the easiest thing in the world, and just brush it off and you'll be fine. Like, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you, because
that's just, it's a no-no.
No. That's completely, it's at 21 and a half minutes, but you have to do it.
I know.
That was uncouth. It's completely ridiculous to tell you, to sit here and tell you that, you know, doing things for yourself is going to come easily if you're a naturally giving person, especially if you naturally are a people pleaser, which is even worse than being a giving person, because it means that you don't think about anything except for how somebody else is going to see, going to experience what you did. So you're thinking not only about, not about your experience, you're thinking about the experience that somebody else is going to have based on whatever information you have to relate to them.
Yeah.
That is not a way to live your life.
It's not. Because it causes bitterness to be in your own heart, because if you constantly live your life for other people, you're going to start to resent them, because you're teaching them how to treat you. Because if you're just the reliable person and you don't, like, show, like, an ounce of humanity, like, oh, okay, like, maybe I can't do that, like, they're not going to hate you. And if they do, then, like, that maybe that wasn't somebody you had to be in a relationship with, or, like, somebody that you were meant to be close with. Because people who just capitalize on your giving, that's not a word. Givingness is not a word. I don't know. Like, people who just capitalize on how giving you are,
mm-hmm.
right? And how kind you are, and how, like, self-sacrificial you are. People like that they can recognize in people, like, oh, okay, like, they're going to keep on doing this. And then they keep letting you do it.
Yeah.
And then you're not going to say anything because you're just so nice. Or it's awkward to have these conversations with people. Even if, like, you're somebody who's, like, a bit more outspoken, because I myself be more outspoken, but I think the older I've gotten, the more I've realized, like, certain things should not be said, and I think there's a balance, because
mm-hmm.
I think you can speak your opinion, and you can do so respectfully, but you can also do so in a way where you don't, like, jeopardize your own well-being
exactly
for the sake of somebody else. Do you know what I mean? And then for the people who don't know that what they're doing is, like, damaging to your psyche, like, just let them, like, you have to let people know that certain things aren't okay. There are boundaries in every kind of relationship, and I think the best relationships have boundaries, because honestly, if you don't have any boundaries, then you either go too deep, like, you just go too deep, or, like, you go too far, and then by the time that they have already breached that point, you're like, oh, crap, this is like, we gotta leave, you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? And, you know, and, like, that's not healthy. You have to be able to communicate. And if you can't communicate effectively, talk to a friend and, like, have them, like, help you articulate yourself
exactly.
in a way where you can talk to the other person, or, like, the third party, whoever you need to talk to about whatever's happening. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's what I have to do all the time. It's whenever I have to talk to, like, anybody, I am like, Kayla, is this mean? is that not nice? Or whatever. Or am I being crazy? Or is this just normal? And she's like, no, that's not normal. They should, like, fix that. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool, cool. And then I have a conversation, and they fix it, and we become better friends for it. Or, like, they're like, oh, well, that's who I am.
And then they get offended, and that's fine.
And then we don't become, and then we're not friends anymore, and that's fine, because, like, they'll grow, and they'll figure it out. I don't know what to tell you. And then that's just, like, the circle of life. You know what I mean?
The circle of life.
The circle of friendship.
Yeah.
But I think a large part of, like, mental health, like, when people go through trauma, like, I don't want to equate it to, like, you know, veterans, but, like, when people go through trauma, sometimes they have, like, or when people have, like, certain disabilities or something, they have, like, disclaimers that they usually say within, like, the first couple of moments of meeting someone.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, like, this, that, or the third, whatever, or, like, hey, loud noises are, like, not okay for me, or, like, whatever.
They let you know what their triggers are.
Yeah, and I feel like every human being should kind of do that, not, like, hey, we just met on the train 2 minutes ago, and you're just staring at me, but I want you to know, like, these couple of things about me. Like, no, like, if you meet somebody for the first time, and, like, you guys are kind of cool, or, like, whatever, or, like, if you're in a work environment, and you're letting them know, like, and you're, like, in a collaborative work environment, you have to let people know, like, what does and does not work for you.
Yeah.
And I think that's smart, and I think that can cause more effective, like, solution-driven, like, what do you call it?
Just better communication?
Outcome.
Oh, outcome.
Yeah, sorry. I keep on having brain farts because my brain is hurting because I have headache. But it's fine. Okay. But it's just, like, things like that, I feel like, cause or, like, create a more open and creative environment, because when you don't feel like you're, like teetering around or, like, walking on eggshells mm-hmm. around people, you can express yourself in, like, the most beautiful way
yeah.
or the most effective way where it can, like, it could cause a reaction that's, like, great. Does that make sense? Because
yeah.
I feel like whenever I talk to people, I'm like, hey, you know, like, that's not cool. I don't like that. You know what I mean? Like when your friend says something that's, like, kind of off color or prejudice, you're like, hey, that's rude. Don't say that. Like, do you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, I think it's
you're
just
communicating it right off the bat.
Yeah.
And there's also something to be said about not letting something fester. Or, like, there's quick communication, and I don't want to compare it to, like, animals or anything, but you're supposed to, whenever an animal does something that you don't want them to do, if you're training them, you're supposed to tell them right then and there, hey, such and such. You're not supposed to, like, correct them 3 hours later. Why? Because dogs, for example, immediately forget whatever they did.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I know that humans don't necessarily forget, but some people don't know what that something they did bothered you. So
yeah.
if you let it fester in yourself and then you wait 455 days to tell them that they, you know, your feelings were hurt in 2016 when they said, you know, that your purple shirt washed you out or whatever, like, they're going to be a little confused about why you waited so long to bring it up.
Yeah.
They might be confused about why you were offended, and that's okay because everybody takes an offense differently, but they'll definitely be confused about how come they're just getting this information 5 years later.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's very important just in any kind of communication, I feel, to let people know right then and there, like you said, if something was offensive or if something, you know, just bothered you in general. Like,
yeah.
it's very important to be quick with that.
Because that you, because these are people who you care about or people that you have to be in contact with on
yeah.
the regular, and you should let them know if something that they said or done is bothersome towards you.
Mm-hmm.
Because either, like, you help them correct it, because what if they do it to somebody else? And then also, like, you let them know that that's not how you want to be treated.
Exactly.
Or how you want to be interacted with. Do you know what I mean? And I think that that's, like,
yes.
that's something that I wish I learned that when I was younger, but I don't even think that it was, like, it wasn't really something people talked about. Because I feel like
no.
mental health was kind of, like, taboo, like, oh my God, you're depressed.
Yeah.
Ooh, rehab. Like, you know what I mean?
And in some ways it still is.
Yeah.
Not always, but in some ways it definitely still is. And I think this all comes back to, you know, making sure you tell people how to treat you, right? And we've
yeah.
said this before. Like, you're the one who give people the blueprint on how you're going to be treated.
Yeah.
And so if from the beginning you are a little bit too, like, I don't hear me saying not to be giving. I think it's so important to be giving and to just be a person who empathizes with people and who puts other people first for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so important. At the same time, if in every situation that you're interacting with different people, you're always the one giving and you're the only one giving, like, there's no give and take.
Yeah.
there's something to be said about that, because you're going to always be the one giving, because you set yourself up for that.
Yeah.
And you'll never be filled back up. And I just think it's really important that in all of our giving and in all of our sacrificing for others, we remember that we need, their relationships are about reciprocation. And if it's a one-sided thing, it's not a relationship.
Yeah.
It's just, and that's why for us as kind of people pleasers, it's important to like have conversations like this where we remind ourselves,
like,
it's
this
okay.
Is what's up.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's okay to think about you. Sometimes, you know,
it's also okay to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
I feel like people think it's like selfish, and it's like, I mean, it is selfish, but like it's about myself. So I have to put myself first.
Right.
And I think like, if that means like, you know, like not, don't isolate yourself, like try not to, because isolation is sad.
Yeah.
And it causes you to have like, not everyone, but it you're prone to having darker thoughts. And if you're not around people who are like-minded that can help you get out of that dark space, then
it's gonna be tough.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, like, if you and your friend like FaceTime every day because, you know, quarantine, then maybe one day be like, hey, instead of us like FaceTime or like Netflix partying or whatever, I'm gonna like take like a really nice bath and binge watch some Parks and Rec, and then I'm gonna go to bed. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, stuff like that. Because sometimes it feels like, I don't know, sometimes we're obligated or feel obligated to do things, especially when it's towards our friends mm-hmm. and our family. And you can do so, like, because those are people who you love. And you can walk in love and be like, hey, I love you. Oh, my God, let me do this for you. Whatever. But, like, don't do that all the time. Like, there's a cap. You know what I mean? Like, don't spread yourself so thin that you don't have enough love and respect for yourself. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Because by that time, like, by the time you're all worn out and you're emotionally drained, because hanging out with people, that is draining. It is.
It is very draining.
Even if you love them, that's just how it happens. You know what I mean? Like, I think everyone has, like, a social battery. And some people's are much larger than others, but even if yours is, like, so large, you should be extra careful, because when you get to, like, E, like, almost empty, you have to be like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, let me take care of myself.
Let me recenter.
Because otherwise you're not going to be kind to yourself because you have no more energy left.
Yeah, and you're definitely, like, why are you going to run yourself this is going to sound selfish, but, like, why are you going to run yourself ragged over people who are not doing anything for you? Like, I don't think you should do anything with the intention of getting anything back. Let me just say that. Like, I think you should do everything out of love and out of kindness and out of grace.
Yeah.
And doing those things means you're not expecting anything back. You're not expecting reciprocation. But there comes a time where your inner human self will tell you, hey, I need a little something. I'm feeling a little off.
Yeah.
You're probably feeling off because all the love you're giving and you're not really getting much back. And honestly, that's a time where not only do you have to let your little human tell yourself, hey, I need something back, but you also have to evaluate who you're spending time with.
Yeah.
And how come you're so empty and everybody else seems so full? Like,
yeah, exactly.
you need to, and if you're lucky enough to have, like, family and friends who are constant outpour into you, then that's, you know, that's wonderful, and I'm not talking to you. But if you are somebody who is constantly feeling drained, and it's not because you're just, like, suffering from, like, depression or, you know, some other sort of mental health ailment. Like, if it's, if you're honestly just, like, suffering and it seems like, why am I suffering?
Yeah.
I don't really have a reason to suffer necessarily. You don't have, like, you know, everybody's reasonings or whatever.
Yeah.
But if that's how you're feeling, you need to take a look around the people around you and figure out who is taking all of your energy.
Yeah.
And you don't have to cut people out completely, but sometimes you need a little bit of distance to rebuild yourself if that's the way you want to live your life. If you want to live your life in a constant outpour without any reciprocation, you might need to give yourself distance every once in a while so that you don't completely, like, drain yourself.
Exactly.
And so, again, we're talking to the people pleasers because that's who we are, and
mm-hmm.
that's the experiences that we're having. And so if you're not a people pleaser, you might not relate to everything that we're saying, but
if you recognize some of these, like, behaviors in your friends, maybe ask them, like, hey, like,
how
are
you doing?
Good?
Yeah,
can I help you with anything? I think especially now, I think now is the time to be extra considerate towards our friends, because everyone is, like, frail mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Like, even if the strong and mighty, like, we're all struggling right now.
Exactly.
And I think then that with that being said and with that in mind, we should be extra kind towards our friends we know tend to struggle a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Or our friends who seem like they're not struggling at all. Do you know what I mean? So just keep an eye out. If you're, like, the middle friend who's just, like, pretty much mellow, and then you have, like, a extreme, like, emotional friend or, like, a very, very, like, oh, my God.
Check on your friends.
Yeah, just go see what's up.
And if you're the person who constantly pulls out of people without giving back, and you're not doing it on purpose, you just haven't really noticed, you haven't really thought about it, check yourself.
Yeah.
Check yourself and become a better friend and a better human to the people around you so that people, everything in the world that we want for positive change starts with one person, and that's you. You can't expect the world to change if you're not willing to do something about it, right?
Yeah.
And so that's all we're really saying. If you're not the person who relates to this because you're not out here people-pleasing, check yourself and see who you're taking out of constantly. See, just check on your friends.
Yeah. Tell me you love them. Tell me you appreciate them. Tell them that their opinions and their space in your life matters.
Tell them their butt looks good.
Yeah, do that.
Oh, Joy's over here feeling herself because the lighting is apparently good, and, like, I can't use any lighting because my phone is occupado. So, we're gonna shut it down right here.
But we love you guys.
We love you,
and we appreciate you, and your butt looks amazing.
Your butt looks so good. Please follow us on Instagram at SomeAdultingRequired, at Joy Naomi with an E, and at Kayla Joy Baltazar, no H. And
that's it.
I don't know. We'll see you next time. Bye.